But to return, I still found that the old leaven kept working and fermenting amongst a few in the church who received nothing from the ministry themselves and were trying with all the craft they could to prejudice the minds of those that did. For if they happened to meet with some poor soul that had been set at liberty, whose tongue was unloosed to speak the praises of redeeming love and blood, that dear soul would speak well of the instrument, but their business was to lessen the instrument, and their answer would sometimes be to such simple souls that told them all their heart, thinking they were my particular friends, "Yes, the parson is a good man and preaches the truth, but he has many things about him that grieve his best friends." "What can you think," say they, "of a man taking £3 a week for preaching, and some of the church and congregation can hardly get bread to eat?" Poor things, this £3 a week stuck so fast in their throats that they could neither get it down nor up. If they happened to meet with some of the dear souls that were walking in darkness, shut up in bondage, who came and went to the house of God like a door upon its hinges, "Well, how do you get on?" "Oh, I am miserable. I can hear nothing at all for myself. The Lord has hid his face, and I am afraid he will never come again." "Yes," was their answer, "my dear friend, things are very gloomy amongst us as a church. There are many of the members who are in a very dead, barren state. Many of them fear that we shall not be able to carry on the cause, and how it is likely we should, with the heavy debt upon the chapel, and raising the parson £3 a week to keep him like a gentleman." Thus it kept working on from year to year, till the time came that it was quite ripe for a separation, in which I had firmly believed for many a year would come to pass. We had always been in a habit of baptizing out of doors up to this time, but it came to pass that the person who had power and authority over the place where the other Baptists baptized in the river that runs through the town objected to my having the use of the place, because I was a man of such a bad spirit, chopping and cutting off everybody but a few poor, narrow-souled creatures like myself, and he was determined I should not baptize there any more. One of our deacons went round the town to see if he could find a convenient place to baptize in, but could not, and he wished me to call the church together and propose to make a baptistry in the chapel, which was quite agreeable to my feelings, and the majority in the church settled it to have a baptistry in the chapel. This made the minority rage and rave very furiously, and it appeared they were determined not to submit to the majority. But I took no notice of that, for I felt satisfied that we were doing that which was right in the sight of God, and therefore we turned neither to the right hand nor to the left, but went straight forward and paid regard to neither smiles nor frowns. We soon got the baptistry made, and I baptized in it. Some called me a pope, some a tyrant, others wondered how I could sleep in my bed, and letter after letter came, all without any name, and pronouncing the heaviest judgments upon me and wondering what sort of a conscience I could have in turning out so many godly souls because they could not submit to my papist decrees. All this, however, had no effect upon me, for I went straight forward according to their own rule, which they had in the church book before I settled amongst them, that if there ever arose any debate or difference of opinion, it was to be settled and decided by the majority, and the minority was to submit. This being the case, I stood fast by their own rule that was entered into the church book before I became their pastor. Thus contention upon contention followed, for by and by the leaders of the opposite party agreed to give up as to the baptistry, but they would not answer to their names being called over after the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, which for some time had been made a rule by the unanimous voice of the church, that we might ascertain who were there and who were missing. But a large majority of the church agreed and settled that those members of the church that would not sign and agree to the rules that had been entered in the church book before should be set aside for 6 months, and at the end of that time that those who still opposed and would not submit to the majority should be separated from us as a church. At the end of 6 months, if I remember right, there were about 30 who were so separated for not complying with the majority of the church. Soon after this, they went off by themselves and took a place for worship, in which they met in, and a strange smash it made in the chapel, when they and their connections gave up their seats. We had, if I recollect right at that time, between 700 and 800 pounds of debt on the chapel, and trade was then but in a middling way, plenty of empty seats and nothing but gloominess all around. At times when God left me to unbelief and carnal reason, I sank very low, and was sometimes afraid it would be utterly impossible for us to keep on. Oh, what wrestlings I had with God that He would appear for us, and blessed be His dear name. He sent me many precious promises that supported my soul under all, and made a sweet testimony that He would bring me through it, all to His honor and glory, and for the good and peace of us as a church. I was as firmly persuaded this would be the case as ever I was of my own experience. And even those that have been our greatest opponents have been obliged to say, the Lord has done great things for them. I think it was about 6 months after these had left us, when our deacons called a meeting of a few of the members with myself, to inquire what was to be done, for they said the cause was sinking very much, and how it could be kept on they could not tell. And they asked me what steps could be taken to pay back the money that they had run behind, besides the 700 pounds on interest. I told them there were only two things that could be done to any good purpose, which were these. One was for you to have a cheaper parson, and the other, if you object to that, for parson and people to unite together in a weekly subscription to make up the deficiency. They all rejected the cheaper parson, and I then said that I considered myself one of them, and I was willing to communicate weekly with those that did the most, and I felt that I would sink or swim with them. But I added to let them know that I did not shrink from bearing a part of the burden, though I was over head and ears in debt. Whatever any one of them agreed to do weekly, I would double the sum. They all agreed that this was very fair and upright, and they were very well satisfied, and I think there were four of them agreed to subscribe 2 shillings a week. Then I said I would give 4 shillings a week. We then stated it to the church and congregation, and they followed us very cheerfully and liberally, as far as lay in their power, and we carried on this subscription for 2 years, and this cleared off all the back arrears except what we had upon interest. But what sinkings we had when left to flesh and blood, how it could be possible that we could hold on, for when unbelief and carnal reason were uppermost, everything appeared against us. But God helped us as the heart of one man to cry mightily unto Him who is King and Lord over angels, men, and devils, that He would appear for us and bless His dear name. He never did nor ever will despise the prayer of the destitute, but will regard their prayer. Oh, the many sweet testimonies that God gave me in the midst of all the fire and water we were passing through, that we should come into a wealthy place, and that no man should set on me to hurt me, and that He would go before me and bring up the rearward, that no weapon formed against me should prosper, and that every tongue that rose up in judgment against me I should condemn. He assured me that the poor worms should thresh the mountains and beat them small as chaff, and the wind should carry them away, that he would bring the blind by a way they knew not, and lead them in paths they had not known, that he would make darkness light before them and crooked things straight, and that these things he would do for them and not forsake them. O blessed, precious promises, how sweet and good they are when given to us in these sinking moments, and the soul by faith eats them as its choicest food. My soul could exclaim in truth, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Such was the sweet confidence of my soul under the precious dew that dropped into my heart from the blessed promises, that I praised, thanked, and adored him for his loving kindness and tender mercies in all that had befallen me to the present time. And my very soul could thank him for the keen trials and afflictions we had had as a church, for I could see the needs be for it all, and I was satisfied it was all working together for good, for the future peace and prosperity of us as a church, and to the glory of our wonder-working God and Savior. Oh, how sweetly could my soul lay aside all malice, and guile, and hypocrisy, and envies, and all evil speakings, and as a newborn babe could desire the sincere milk of the word, that I might grow thereby, having tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom I came as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. O sweet tasting, precious coming, when pride, anger, wrath, and malice are laid aside. O what a blessing is the peace of God! It is the blessing that passeth all understanding, and keeps the heart and mind through Christ Jesus. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And when God gives peace, who can give trouble? And so I have found it to be the truth in my very soul by heartfelt experience. The dear Lord was with me in public, and gave me the door of utterance in proclaiming upon the housetop what my poor soul had so sweetly received in secret, as so that we soon had an increase both in church and congregation, and many of the poor dear sheep that had run away from the fold came creeping back, poor things half starved to death and heartily glad to pick up a few crumbs. They did not need any of my whipping and flogging, for I believe they had it on their own consciences. Therefore I had no occasion to give reproof, for they had received plenty of that. The dear Lord went on giving testimony to the word of his grace, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, till we had more people both in church and congregation, and what was the greatest blessing, peace in the church, which we had known very little of for a long time. Now it was what brethren ought to be, dwelling together in unity, not contending which should be the greatest, but everyone appearing to be the least, and our souls could enter into a little what David expressed in Psalm 133, Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life for evermore. And what was my greatest blessing? I was favored with much sweet fellowship and communion with my covenant God and Father, and there can be nothing out of place when matters are right and straight between God and the soul. It is true, there was plenty of clamor without, both by professors and profane, calling me all sorts of names, but that is but trifling when there is peace and quietness indoors.